right. Well, here we are. To dream again. To dare again. To feel enjoyment and happiness again. Or for the first time. To realize this is living. Be inspired. To see your life as an exciting journey of discovery. With your host of the Inspire Possibility Show, Mark Sussman.
Hi, everybody. Welcome. This is Mark Sussnell. You're listening to the Inspire Possibility Show. And some of you might know I was away for a month, and I did the show from Kauai. And this is the first one that we're doing since I've been back in Marin County, and I have somebody very special today. And, you know, I'm not even sure I'm saying his name right, but it's Ajayan Boris. He's the author of Whispers of the Himalaya. He's a meditation teacher, and he's a seeker. He is a person who's always looked for a deeper truth. And I know many of you that listen to the show, you're also on this path looking for deeper meaning. I know I have throughout the years, and we want a deeper experience. We want to feel more. We have a sense that there's more that we can experience. And I know that many, many people say that we only are aware of perhaps 5% of our minds, of our conscious mind. And through a lot of this deeper work, we start to expand our consciousness so that we're aware of, even if we went up to 10%, we're really doubling our awareness of what we know, of our knowledge. And Ajayan actually went on a pilgrimage. He's been on a pilgrimage his whole life, but he actually went to the source of the Ganges and lived in a cave for 2 months and had all these amazing experiences. And this is just part of the journey. And there's more to come. And so welcome, Ajayan, to the show. And how am I doing on your name?
Well, thank you, Mark, first of all. It's really a pleasure to be on here, and I'm just delighted to hear that you've been seeking for, you know, every bit as long as I have, and so that's wonderful. You did, but okay, let me tell you, it's just Ajayan. It's actually a southern Indian modification of the more common name, Ajay. So you probably heard Ajay before, so it's just Ajayan.
Yes.
I had an at the end of it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Ajayan.
Yep, that's
Ajayan.
It.
Yes.
All right.
Yes. Well, I have to say that I went to your website and read about you. I have your book in front of me, and I haven't had a chance yet to read it, and I will, but it sounds like you've had a fascinating story, and it sounds like you were raised in the Northwest in Seattle area.
Yep.
And, uh-huh. and you know what I'm curious about? I'm always curious about how people kind of, what led them to this path. And I know you were born, and your name, Henry James was your name your parents gave
yeah,
you?
Yeah, Henry James Boris. James was the middle name, right? Mm-hmm. So Henry James Boris. Yeah, that's actually, I had written a couple of books long ago in the 90s under that name. That was my actual legal name. And then later on, I was given the name Ajayan, and it kind of took. My wife likes it a lot better than Henry, and I like it. So, yeah, I go by that.
Mm-hmm. And then, so what was going on, like your raise, and did you feel like you were, like, did you feel different than the other kids that you went to school with?
Well, okay, this is a bit of a story. So kind of sit back, and I'll tell you the whole thing if you want.
Okay. We don't have, just so you know, Yeah, we have about a half hour together, and
okay.
there's a lot we want to cover. But so you want to tell a story, just, you know, the
yeah,
shorter
well,
version.
Yeah, well, I think it's worth telling, at least in a short version, because it was really the beginning of my whole spiritual path. Because prior to being 18 years old, I, you know, was raised a Catholic. I had kind of good values, but I wasn't particularly spiritual. And in fact, when I was 18, we kind of experimented with psychedelics. You know, this was 1970 at that time. And a lot
75,
of
you're saying?
So, it was 1970. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And so anyway, to make it condensed version, I was had taken mescaline. And
right.
By the way, I don't encourage this, and but this led to an experience that was just a total turnaround of my life. We were in a car talking and having a wonderful kind of unified conversation, a lot of love, a lot of sort of super fluid conversation where we used to say a few words and amazing ideas were communicated. And this went on for a little while, and then it was like my thinking became so subtle and fast, is how it seemed, that I couldn't speak out the words. And so my mind, I dropped out of the conversation, and my mind was just whirling around and around, and I was getting intensely blissful, and it seemed like I was, whatever I was thinking was following the very, you know, to the truth of existence, the secret of the universe. And it was like my awareness was just going around this core faster and faster. And it finally, language dropped away. So I wasn't even thinking in terms of language, just these pure currents, powerful currents of creative intelligence, of intelligence and energy. And those whirled around this core faster and faster. And then finally it touched into that core. And then there was a gap. And in that gap, I'll tell you what it was like, just by metaphor. Imagine that you are the sun, and the sun is a million times bigger than the earth. So it's vast, just mass of light and energy. But imagine that instead of just light and energy and heat, that it was intelligence and love and bliss and energy. And still that vast mass of intelligence, energy, bliss, love is your being. But at some point that would end and space would begin, even though it's a million times
right.
bigger than the earth. So
right.
imagine it was a trillion suns. Then even that would end somewhere. Well, this didn't end at all. It was
so if
a trillion,
I,
trillion
it,
suns.
So, so let me
so
interrupt here.
Oh, sure. Go ahead.
Sir, what I think you're saying is that you had these incredible moments of where you're just feel like one with the universe. You're just
yeah,
connected to everything.
Existed. You could say that I didn't
yeah.
exist and the universe didn't exist. This was the absolute.
Yeah.
This was nirvana. This was beyond uh-huh. the universe. And what happened, so I came out of that, and nobody else in the car had experienced that. And I knew a few things that were imprinted in my being from that experience. One was that it didn't really have to do with the drug. In fact, there's no drug that could create infinity. So that was the first thing. I knew I'd had a valid experience. It wasn't a hallucination. It was way beyond that. Secondly, I knew that it was the most important thing that any, you know, it was the goal of life. And that finally that we could also all actually be in that state. We could somehow live that infinite consciousness for all times because that was our being. So I came out of that experience, you know, not knowing anything about philosophy, Eastern thought, or any of that, just sure of those three things. And I tried to convince my friends after this that we should – oh, that was the other thing. I knew that in order to live that state, you had to be completely normal in the highest sense, normal in the sense of eliminating all distortions from your being. So no psychological distortions, very pure physically and all of that. That just seemed axiomatic to me after that experience. So I tried to convince my friends that we should stop drinking, smoking, taking drugs. And so they didn't want to stop that. And so I kind of removed myself from them. So in answer to your question, did I feel different from other kids? Yeah, at that point, I now was alone. I didn't have my whole
But you were by then, you were 18 though, right?
Yes, by then I was 18.
Yeah.
And I was having, for the next few months, I had flashbacks where I was like experiencing myself in ancient Greece. I was really destabilized by that. And I started, and I picked up a copy of the Bhagavad Gita that my dad had, and I realized that it felt so familiar to me. It was as if I had written it.
What's curious here is that you said you were raised a Catholic, yet your dad is reading the Bhagavad Gita?
Yeah, that was a total anomaly, because he wasn't in Indian philosophy or anything. He had taken a management course. He was a VP at a major company, and he had taken a management course from a Jesuit priest who was, you know, they did sort of progressive things. And the Jesuit priest threw this into the curriculum. And so my dad didn't really know the Bhagavad Gita, but he had it on his bookshelf. And I just picked it up. But it was like I had written it. And so then I tried to meditate. That was the beginning. You know, then I tried to learn to meditate, which I did the next, when I entered college, the next, semester. So that's where it really started for me. And then I learned to teach TM, and I hung out with Maharshi Mahesh Yogi. I worked on his international staff for a few years.
What year was this?
Well, from 1972 to about 1982, I spent a lot of time with Maharshi and teaching in the TM organization. So I got really steeped in that. But then at some point, I kind of left that and ventured into studying different forms of meditation. I was very passionate about meditation, spent many hours every day meditating, and moved to India. Actually, I met Amici, you know, the hugging saint.
Yes.
Probably some of our listeners have heard of her. And she actually stayed with us in our house for a few years. Not for a few years, but when she came to Seattle for a few years.
Privilege and honor, and
yeah, that was amazing. And that, of course, made us, my whole family, feel very close to Amit. And we ended up moving.
And now, when you say your family, who was that? You and your wife, or your
wife
kids,
and two daughters? Yeah.
Wow.
So they were 7 and 14, and we moved to the very southern tip of India and lived for 4 years in that ashram. And Amma actually had me be the ashram meditation teacher, which was another great honor, because thousands of people were coming through there, and I was teaching lots of meditation. When Amma would go to her world tour, I would go up to the Himalayas, and that was my first journey there. Is the account of that is what Whispers of the Himalaya is all about. So now we've come full circle. That's how the book got started.
Right. Wow. So, you know, what I'm curious about it is you talk about effortless mind, about, the stillness is quiet, and you have a fantastic testimonial blurb on the cover from Bernie Siegel, which, you know, is one of my favorite teachers, and he just has so much to offer. And what I like, I'm looking for the quote that Bernie wrote. He's saying, an incredible story that reveals the truth we are all capable of finding when we quiet our minds. And for those of you out there, Bernie Siegel, he's the author of A Book of Miracles and 365 Prescriptions for the Soul, which I actually have a copy here. And he's just a medical doctor, just been a great teacher for many, many years. So you've really have connected with a lot of very special beings, and so you are in the cave for 2 months, and what was like? I mean, I guess what intrigued me is you come from a Western background, and
right.
yet you decide to go to this extreme of looking for something else. And you know, one other thing before we get into that, what I'm curious about, in fact, right before the show, I was having a conversation at the health food store with a friend of mine who's been into TM for years about different ways to meditate. And my thing is that the best way to meditate is the one that you do, and not to get hung up with types of meditation. And I know that when sometimes you're in TM, you're led to believe this is the only way, this is the best way. Then you go ahead and study with Amaji, which is a whole probably different type of meditation. And then you eventually come up with your own method. So do you anticipate that you're going to, as time goes on, keep tweaking your meditation practice and come up with new ideas about the most effective way to meditate?
Well, it's a great question. Absolutely, Mark. This is very interesting. So I've been a family person. You know, I've got a family
right.
in the world, having a job. And yet I am so dedicated to my meditation. I love it, you know. But what's always been important to me, because I have to, you know, support a family at the same time,
right.
is to make the most of the time that I am sitting. You know, when I'm meditating, I want to make the most of it. So I have
right.
Explored many different techniques and so on, and studied with tantric teachers, and the yogis in the Himalayas have given me, you know, tips and tricks. And so I have a whole range of things. And I will say it's absurd for any organization to claim that their meditation is the best, or that it's, you know, better than others and all this. There
right.
certainly there may be some that have advantages and so on. But I think all of the forms of meditation have something important to offer. And I've just kind of taken the best of all the different things I've experienced. And through my own sadhana, it's just kind of gelled into a form that is very accessible for people. It's very easy to practice, but it really delivers in terms of depth and so on. And there are things that you can do that really accelerate, that accelerate your meditation. The yogis were great researchers, and they studied the subtle relationship between breath and the energetic body, you know, the prana, and consciousness very carefully. And they devised different techniques that really blast you through boundaries to have a much deeper experience. And hardly any of the techniques that you get in the general marketplace out there really take advantage of these subtler aspects of yoga practice. It's not sitting and doing yoga asanas. They're more subtle than that. But they really work on the energetic body, which is the kind of connection between the physical body and the mental body. And it really opens up both of those. So that's what I've been really intrigued with. And it is very closely related to a lot of tantric practices and some advanced yogic practices. I mean, they all come from the same place, basically. And so that's what I've integrated into my meditation format, so that it takes advantage of that. And that gives it, I think, a real advantage in terms of people having deep, effortless meditations right from the start, you know, that are just very expansive
right.
and blissful.
So if people want to get your book, how do they get your book? Whispers of the Himalaya.
Amazon. It's on Amazon.com. That's probably the easiest. Whispers of the Himalaya. I also wrote Effortless Mind, Meditate with Ease, a couple years ago, and that gives some actual instruction. Whispers is a story. It's a true story. It's that whole adventure I had in the Himalayas, which was wonderful.
Right.
But for instruction, the other book is really explicit. You know, that's what it's about.
I like that title of your meditation book, Effortless.
Effortless Mind, Meditate with Ease. Yeah. Yeah.
And then you give like courses, and right now you're giving courses and webinars and all that kind of stuff. Is that?
Yeah. And people, if you're curious, go to ajayan.com, and there's a free guided meditation.
Want to spell that again for everybody?
Sure. It's AJAYAN. So AJAYAN.com. And there's a free guided meditation. You just click the link and it'll take you there. So that gives you a taste. And that is just a taste, but you'll see the difference. It's how it integrates Abunda into the meditation practice that makes it deeper for a lot of people. So, and then
you want to explain to our audience what you mean by Abunda?
Sure. So, thank you. Okay, so Abunda means lock. And this is one of those subtle practices I was referring to earlier. It's basically a certain position. It's a constriction of certain muscle groups in the body that are related to the flow of energy, subtle energy in the body. And in this case, Mula Abunda, it awakens and directs the subtle energies that are dormant in the area of the Muladhara chakra and directs those up the spine to clear the other chakras. So a little bit of that.
So for our listeners, we're kind of talking as a kind of a general idea, if you haven't done this before. It's kind of the near the anus and the perineum, those muscles down there. That's kind of the area we're talking about. Yes.
Right.
So that's one bunda or one lock. And is there another one up on top?
Oh, sure. Jalandhara Bunda, kind of the chin lock like that. And then you can have Uddiyana Bunda, which is the sucking of the tummy towards the spine. If you do all three of those together, then it's called Mahabunda. So this is actually a wonderful practice. You should be taught properly. Don't just try it from the conversation. But
But it's explained in more detail in your book, right?
Yes, but also I have a membership site at ajayan.com, and there I have tons of video instruction where I really go through all the details of so many practices. So I'm really excited about that, actually. Yeah.
So what right now gives you hope? I mean, a lot of people right now are hurting, and the world seemed like it's sometimes out of control, although I compare it to other times, and I think we're doing quite well. I have a slightly different perspective.
There is a lot of turmoil in the world. There's a lot of very sad things happening, traumatic things. At the same time, what gives me hope is what I actually identify, which is that that is that innermost self, which is bliss consciousness. So that is, if you identify with that, then you just have hope. That's your life, But if you're identified with what's going on around you, then it can seem very desperate. And so that's part of the reason that meditation is so important, to know who you really are. And you're not all these things that are happening. You are that pure spirit. You are a bliss consciousness.
Right.
And you can bring that
metaphor,
to the world.
Yeah. The metaphor that I use to explain to people the benefits of meditation is I talk about what it is to live from your center. And when you don't live from your center, it's as if you're driving a car without shock absorbers, and every little bump in the road is magnified, and you have a rocky ride. But when you meditate, you're connected with your center, and the little things don't bother you as much, and you have a smooth ride, and you can see, you can have a clear view of where you want to go. That's kind of the metaphor I use, which people relate to, and It's I started meditating when I was a young trial lawyer many, many years ago, and mm-hmm. I've been doing it for since 1971. And,
wow.
I do it regularly, and I just found that it makes my life better. I don't get stressed out as much. Not to say that I don't have upsets and get stressed out at times. I just feel that mm-hmm. when I do, it's not for as long.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I come back to my center
beautiful.
Quicker. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's beautiful that you've just started way back when and you just kept with it. That's wonderful.
Kept with it. And the locks you talked about also are in the Ashtanga yoga practice that I've done mm-hmm. at times, which is a very challenging meditation yoga practice with a different asana.
Mm-hmm.
But you do these locks, the Mula Bandha and the the other two, which I can't say.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
What inspires you right now? It sounds like you're doing a lot of great things.
Well,
what inspires you?
Like I say, my big focus is my meditation. I help my wife with her business. She's brilliant, and she's healing many people, Dr. Keisha Ewers. And she's an expert in autoimmune disease and so on. And so I really like to help her because people are suffering from their bodies being ill, and she can help them, so I help her. Every day I spend at least a couple hours meditating, and that just puts me in the space where, where you're living that higher consciousness, and life is blissful, it is blissful. So that's really what inspires me. That's kind of the foundation. But I also love to write, and this Whispers of the Himalaya, I actually spent 20 years refining that book. It's a true
wow.
story, but it took me 20 years to get it out. It's my best book. I've had 4 books, and they've been published by like HarperCollins and such, but this is far and away my best book. I really love it. It's a very deep story of my time there, my reflections, and it's an adventure at the same time, so it captures you,
Mhm. Mhm. Well, I want to thank you for being our guest on the Inspire Possibility Show. You're definitely inspiring many possibilities in lives of others. And what I like about your story is that it keeps evolving,
mm-hmm.
and that you have an insight and think, okay, I'm going to be doing this. And for a lot of people, when we're younger, we have these insights and we have the illusion that we get into something and we'll be on cruise control the rest of our life.
Mm, right.
But as we get older, we realize it doesn't quite work that way. And it's good to stay curious, open-minded about what's next and what's possible. And that's really what I encourage all of you out there is to really look at what's possible in your life. And and keep asking that question, not whether or not, can I do this, but is it possible? And then if it's possible and you really want to, you have a desire, you really want it, then you go for it and stay open to the experience. And it sounds like you've been on that path and definitely have taken some unusual trails, unusual paths, and here you are and sound pretty happy and you've found your way. So thank you for your inspiration.
Well, thank you for doing this show, Mark, and for having me on as a guest. I really appreciate it. It's wonderful work. So thank you.
Well, thank you. And I want to say to our listeners, as you know, every week we have an interesting, amazing person who shares their wisdom with us. And until next week, journey on, and we'll tune in again.
You've been listening to Inspire Possibility Show with Mark Susnow. To learn more about Mark Sosnow, go to inspirepossibility.com and click on the contact button. Schedule a complimentary visit with Mark or email him at mark@inspirepossibility.com. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine.